Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Erwin Redlener said, "Having insurance doesn't guarantee good health outcomes, but it is a critical factor." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest who wants to end the confusion and frustration surrounding healthcare coverage. Today's Playmaker began his professional career as a trauma nurse. With us today is a managing partner who, as a nurse, saw hardworking individuals with insufficient medical coverage. This great playmaker is Mark Peroni. Mark is founder and managing partner of Benefit Corp. Now, Mark founded Benefit Corp in 1995 with a single mission to end the confusion and frustration surrounding, as I mentioned before, individual and company-sponsored healthcare coverage. Benefit Corp is a Dallas-based company dedicated to providing commercial insurance solutions and benefits for business owners and individuals. Benefit Corp brings over 20 years of experience in the insurance industry within Texas and across the nation. Well, Mark, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Hello, Steve.
It's interesting, you graduated from Purdue with a degree in business administration and nursing. You don't look like a nurse, but why nursing?
Well, at the time, early in my life, when I graduated from Purdue, one of the things that I learned from my mom, who happened to have been a nurse for over 40 years of her life, she said, "You know something, Mark? If you actually go into this field, you'll always be able to have a career anywhere that you go." So I went after what my mom told me, like most kids should probably do, is listen to their parents every now and then. And I went into that field. And sure enough, I was able to get a job and a career in every single state because I ended up being a travel trauma nurse and working for 16 weeks at a time and then going to a different part of a different state. Usually up and down the east and west coast. I had spent some time in California, spent some time up and down Florida on the Atlantic side and on the Gulf side, and of course here in Texas.
Well, I'm going to ask you more about why that brought you to Benefit Corp, but nursing is a caring position. It's also a caring career. How did that carry over into the insurance field?
Well, one of the things that I saw as a trauma nurse is that when a doctor actually picked up the chart on patients that I was taking care of, the first thing they would do is find out why they're there. And the next thing they did was look at the insurance and then go treat them. So if you're in the emergency room back in the 90s when HMOs were very prevalent, and let's just say you had you were there because of a migraine, and he saw that you were on HMO, you got a pain pill and got sent home. If you were on a PPO plan, well, that was a different story. We ended up giving you an MRI of your head and making sure there was no aneurysms or anything going on upstairs, and then got a pain pill and got sent home, or a shot.
Well, you just basically answered my next question, but you can add to this. I mentioned as a nurse you saw hardworking individuals with insufficient medical coverage, but why did you find Benefit Corp? Found it, rather.
Well, one of the things that I did when I moved to Texas was I was at, when I moved here, I was a trauma nurse and I worked at various hospital systems, whether it would be Baylor or R.H. Deadman at the time, that was off of 635 and Irving Healthcare Center. So I did a lot of different trauma centers that were just here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. One of the things after 6 years of doing a high-impact type of job, you really wanted to go ahead and start to find out what you really want to do in your life. And one of the things that I found that I can do with my life that I felt would be lucrative would be to change healthcare the way that it is.
Well, you have done that because one of the things you mentioned as we spoke prior to this interview is that you have the answer to high costs of health insurance.
I actually
do. Talk about that.
Yeah, so there is a product. There's actually a couple products that are on the marketplace today. One is a subscription-based healthcare product. where you can actually go to all these urgent care centers, one being very popular called Care Now. And you can go there with no deductible, no copay for a very, very low cost of $59 a month for a single person and kids, and $79 a month for the entire family. Anything that has to do with preventive care can be done. Anything that has to do with primary care, like colds and flus, and anything that has to do with chronic care, all can be treated at a Care Now for a very, very low price. Over 200 different types of things can be done at a Care Now. And one thing I like about this monthly-based subscription product is not only is it a low cost, but it's VIP treatment and service. You get a nice handheld app. It'll tell you where to go. And then when you show up, you just show the app with your card on it, and you get in right away to get your care done. So that's one thing that's out there that's in the marketplace today that's at a very low cost. Most of the time, I'm spending my time fixing employer healthcare-sponsored plans. A lot of times with employers today, the status quo has been, well, let's go with the big insurance carriers that are out there. And that has been that way for year after year after year. I've been doing this now for 23 years. The last 3 years, I've been selling and putting in a healthcare captive arrangement for my employers. It's very different than insurance carriers that are in a marketplace. And a claim is paid on a fair claim basis instead of a negotiated, made-up rate by a network discount that these big insurance carriers provide.
Is this what you referred to earlier as we were talking, a reference-based pricing?
Yes, that is the term that's used. And it's a loose term when you say reference-based pricing, because there's a lot of companies across the country I found that are doing this well, and most of them are not doing it as well. And the reason being is, it's when you talk about reference-based pricing, it's based off of a fair claim that the government has already established. A lot of people do not know that if you go have hip replacement surgery, or if you go have open heart surgery, or anything really in healthcare, there's already a cost, a flat cost, that's associated with it. And that's called Medicare. Our government did something right and actually priced this out and made sure that there was a cost associated with everything with healthcare. Well, most employers that are sponsoring plans don't have everybody that's 65 and over that are working for them, so Medicare doesn't work on these plans. So what we have done is worked off a flat pricing model instead of a network discount made up by billed charges of a hospital system that's been inflated, sometimes 1,000% variance from one hospital system to another for the same procedure. So what reference-based pricing does is it takes the flat price of Medicare and we increase it. Sometimes 140% of Medicare, sometimes it's 160. We go up to 200%. Depends on where you're at in the country, and it depends on what hospital system you are. But basically, when an employer is actually paying claims on employees on these large group health plans, they want to pay something that's fair, not a made-up inflated price. So with reference-based pricing, we do what's called direct contracting with these hospital systems that allows this to happen. And what the end result is a fair claim, and also employers paying less for health care than what they are doing on some negotiated rate and some discount. I could put it into perspective like this. If you're with one of these big insurance carriers and you're using a network, well, now you're telling your employees you have to use this network. If you go outside this network, you get penalized. Most employees are like, okay, I know what my benefits are. Well, sometimes they know what their benefits are. And then when they go time to use the benefits, they really don't know what the costs are that are associated with it. On my model, they can go see anybody that they want, any hospital, any doctor, and we're going to pay that claim on a fair price based off of a Medicare reimbursement of 140% all the way up to 200% of Medicare. The result is going to be less than any network discount that's out there, and therefore makes that claim less, therefore makes the insurance less. Now, the better part about what I'm selling is also a captive arrangement, so it groups like-minded businesses together so that these business owners are sharing in a pooled risk, and they're all in the same mindset and concept of what the plan does. Therefore, all of these claims are less because of that pool, makes the pool even better, and then we actually cut them a dividend back of any money that's left in that pool after that plan year. Therefore, renewals from 1 year to the next on these employer-sponsored health plans are sometimes negative. They don't actually go up. So imagine me going after 23 years of doing this to an employer and saying, well, I'm going to decrease your health care rates instead of increasing them. So they're actually happy to see me instead of like, oh my gosh, I have to go to another health insurance renewal. But reference-based pricing is where it's at. It's starting to get more prevalent. Reference-based pricing has been out for 14 years. Most people don't realize it. It's going more mainstream now because most employers are getting more and more educated. If you think about it like this, in the 90s, when HMOs first came out, everybody's like, oh no, I don't want an HMO. I have to go through a primary care specialist. There's all these rules. And then all of a sudden, HMOs got really big. And then they went away because they paid on a capitated basis. And that's a different story. Nowadays, if you take a look at teaching employees what the costs are, well, health savings accounts is where it's at. They've been out now for 13 years, and they are one of the best health products that anybody can buy. The reason why I say that is when you take a look at a health savings account for an employee, you will have a plan that doesn't have any copays on it. So everything is directed right to the deductible. And once they meet the deductible, then really everything's picked up 100% thereafter. That's how most plans are set up. But the employee has that opportunity to go ahead and set up a bank account alongside their health insurance plan. And they can sock away money on a tax-free basis that grows from 1 year to the next. So they have this pool of money later on in life in case something catastrophically does happen to them. So year after year, they've been increasing the amount of money you can put into these bank accounts. If an employer actually started off and wanted to have the best employer-sponsored health plan, they would also have an educational system that goes along with it to their employees, especially the younger employees. Because at age 65, you can't contribute anymore to a health savings account. But if you were in your 20s, and I knew in my 20s I can open up a health savings account, I would have definitely did that. And there's some very good reasons why. One of the reasons is that if you're looking for your kids to take care of you later on in life, maybe you need a nursing home, well, you got kids to do that for you. Some people don't. So if you have a health savings account, one of the things you can, if you have all this pool of money and you didn't use it for healthcare and now you need a nursing home, well, now you have a pool of money that you can actually use from that bank account to actually pay for long-term care. And I know that long-term care has been a buzz for the last 10 years. And most of the time, people go buy a long-term care policy. And it's usually the kids buying it for their parents. But unfortunately, it's when their parents are like in their late 60s or early 70s when we're trying to buy that policy. And that policy is super expensive by then. So the right time to buy long-term care, if you're not going to have a health savings account, is really in your 30s. That's when it's the most affordable. And you can do a paid-up policy for long-term care. I don't want to get off on a tangent on that, but there really is two products that are in the marketplace that right now can save companies literally hundreds of thousands of dollars. One is a monthly subscription plan, because even if you have a health savings account, it doesn't default the IRS bank account you set up because of first dollar coverage. On the monthly subscription-based product I have, you can go to all these care nows. There is no copay, there is no deductible. You can get in right and see them. So there's nothing that's applied to the deductible. And it does give you care right away. And that's the bad thing about health savings accounts. Because there's no copay. Everybody's been used to a copay since HMOs came out in the late 80s. They're used to having that cushion of, hey, it's only $30 or it's going to be this. So by having a low-cost, acute product in our marketplace, employers can actually add that product and then add an HSA, and it will actually provide the most cost-effective healthcare plan that they can actually provide in our marketplace. If they take it a step further and put it inside a health captive, well, now they're going to be getting dividends back for having low loss ratios, and that's really the best way to actually run an employer-sponsored healthcare plan.
Well, you've mentioned health insurance captives, but you also put something very specific together you developed called a vault plan. Talk about that.
Well, I didn't actually develop the Vault plan. I am one of the resellers of the Vault Captive plan. And what it is a very, very smart CPA out of Chicago, Jay Jensen, put together and domiciled a healthcare captive in the United States. It's not domiciled offshore or any of that funny business. It's domiciled right here. And what it is a pooled risk of employers that come together in single-cell captives to go ahead and accomplish a extra layer of risk, decreasing stop-loss premiums. And what happens is when you have that extra layer of risk that's there, your insurance premiums go down dramatically. And that's why it's there. One other thing that it does accomplish is it gives you a pooled risk of businesses that share in that risk. So it also gives an incentive to the employers to keep their employees healthy. And that's really the key concept behind the rising cost of healthcare. If your employees are healthy, well, you're going to pay less premiums for it because there's not going to be any claims on your plan. Now, insurance is there for those claims that happen to people, and eventually something's going to happen where you're going to need insurance. But until then, if we can actually get them early before you start to be a diabetic or before you start to have health problems or before you become obese and get to them early through preventive care measures, through different types of counseling measures and therapy measures, then you can actually reduce the catastrophic types of costs that are associated on these plans.
You've also put together something which I see as almost a spin-off of that for associations, which you call a MIWA. Explain what a MIWA is and what you can do with that for groups that you're working with.
Okay, well, MIWA is not my invention again, so I just want to let you know multiple employer...
I'm just giving you a little additional credit you probably shouldn't have.
Sure, multiple employer welfare arrangements have been around for a very long time. In Texas, they were actually illegal at one time because of the way that they were structured and the way that the claims liability was not done on these plans, and that's what made them bad. Due to the Trump law, that reversed that. So MIWAs are another thing that you can actually put in place. Associations are going to be looking at multiple employer welfare arrangements and putting those back in place. And the association that we're looking at doing one in Texas is going to be Texas Responders, TexasFirstResponders.org.
Well, you have also another couple of plans that if you didn't develop, you've been working on what is called ReadyCare, but you also have ReadyCare VIP. What are those?
So ReadyCare and ReadyCare VIP are is a company that's in Richardson. Dr. Terry James is the head of that company and product. But that is the low-cost monthly healthcare subscription model where you can go to these urgent cares. He also developed a doctor network that's in there also. So, for example, if you need a well woman exam, you're not going to go to an urgent care center to get a well woman exam, but you can pick one of the doctors out of their network and go get a preventive care type of visit. Again, no copay, no deductible, whether you're going to a doctor or you're going to one of those urgent care centers. But ReadyCare is a hot product that's in our marketplace right now. I put it on BenefitCorp.com. There's a ReadyCare VIP tab that's on there. We sell it on an individual basis, so one person can buy it right through my website. Or we actually put it in place on an employer-sponsored plan where employers can actually buy that for their employees, or employees can actually buy that through just the plan offering, or we can put it in a self-funded type of plan arrangement.
We're speaking with Mark Peroni. Mark is founder and managing principal of Benefit Corp. You can check them out at BenefitCorp.com. My question to you, you've been talking about those different plans with companies. Who's your ideal client? Who do you work with specifically to help bring them these savings in healthcare?
Well, my typical client is companies that have 50 employees or more. They're wanting to go ahead and get out of the rat race of having another renewal with double digits from insurance carriers. They're wanting to look at an alternative way of going ahead and providing healthcare to their employees. They want to go ahead and take a proactive approach to that message. So any companies, I typically am writing companies anywhere from 100 lives to 2,000 lives. I work with the construction industry. I work with long-term care facilities. I work with just, you know, white collars like doctors and lawyers and you name it. So we write all sorts of businesses. But the general thing is that you want to be part of the solution instead of being part of the problem of the high cost of renewals and healthcare costs for your employees. The last thing you want is January 1 to roll around and it's your effective date on your policy and to tell your employees that we're taking more out of their paycheck for the same plan that they have, which is a high deductible plan, and they're very, very unhappy. It makes nobody happy when you do things like that. There is an answer out there. They just don't know what those answers are. And a lot of brokers like me on the marketplace, they're not educated enough to go ahead and seek out these types of products. But they are available. And anybody that wants to call me, I'll be more than happy to explain what the Vault plan is to them.
Well, the difference between what you're doing and other brokers from listening to you as we've had this conversation is that you're a little bit more proactive, looking for ways to package things together as you walk into that client and say, here are some ways to reduce your health costs. We're going to make those effective for you. Would you agree with that?
We do. I mean, all my plans, especially the Vault plan, has a patient advocacy. It helps employees navigate through healthcare. One of the things is even though that we're proactive on the educational side and visit sites and educate employees about the plans, you know, until employees actually use it or something catastrophically happens to them, like they have like a total hip replacement or have a heart surgery or something, that's when it gets important to them on what my insurance is. So we have a number right on the front part of the card, which is a patient advocacy where they're allowed to go ahead and do that and to navigate the healthcare. On all the Vault plans, there's the Vault app, which allows them to go ahead and access to find out where the lowest cost healthcare is, where the best doctors are, where the closest hospital is, where the closest urgent care center is. But more importantly, there's things that are built into the plan that makes employees like this healthcare coverage. The reason being is that we have a lot of things where there's no cost to them. Can you imagine having a plan where there's no copay to go see a doctor and no copay or no deductibles when you go in the hospital? And we have those plans. No copay when you get a generic drug. No copay when you use telemedicine. We have Talkspace where you can have mobile mental health. No fee associated with that. I can go on and on all the things that employees like about our plan. But the main one is this: access to care. They can go see anybody they want. We got rid of the networks altogether. You can go see any doctor, any hospital on our plan. Our plan's going to pay it.
So essentially what you're talking about, and we spoke about this earlier too, is your focus is on the company and the individual and really taking care of them. It's really the customer service, not only to help them save money, but to take care of them, because anytime we talk about insurance and medicine, there are questions that most people need to have answers because they really don't understand. So now you have, as you mentioned, the advocacy number they can call, and there's someone to talk to.
Yeah, not only can they talk to them about just what the healthcare is, they're also there after the fact. I have a business partner of mine. His wife went through a bout of breast cancer, and he had a patient advocate the entire time. And if you can imagine going through a tragedy like that, and she's fine now because they caught in. She went through all the chemo and therapy and all the stuff that's needed there, but the bills and the explanation of benefits and all the doctors and all the stuff that goes in this industry where you get in your mailbox and it's filled and you don't even know where to start. Well, the best place to start is to call your advocate, because they will be the one to tell you where to pay and how much to pay, especially in a time where your mindset might not be the greatest mindset because of something that's really going on in your life. So I think that is the biggest plus for a patient advocate on any system. Employers should put it in place, because at the end of the day, these HR departments, they seem to be people that really want to help, and there just doesn't seem enough of them in those HR departments. Especially as companies grow, they're busy doing what's making the company successful, but the HR departments seem to be getting smaller and smaller. So you definitely need that outsource, whether it is a good brokerage firm like mine or putting patient advocacy in place where employees definitely can call to go ahead and get resolutions quickly, fast, and effectively. And the last thing we want anybody to do at a time of crisis or tragedy is to be worrying about their insurance, that's for sure.
So how do our listeners get a hold of you and the business?
Well, we're at Benefit Corp, benefitcorp.com. The number is 972-480-0109. Again, 972-480-0109.
And that's all on our website, too. Mark, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
You are definitely a playmaker, and a playmaker is somebody that makes something happen. You're definitely making something happen, if nothing else, in the insurance field. Congratulations.
Thank you.
This has been a terrific show. We just spoke with Mark Peroni. Again, Mark is founder and managing partner of Benefit Corp. Thank you also very much for listening to us. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.